Okay. We need a little help from the fans.
This is the call to join us on Patreon/RantsMacabre, where we'll be making exclusive content for our Patreon backers.
Every month, we'll be offering a range of content, including fully produced episodes.
We'll be doing some watch-alongs, where we'll be doing like a running commentary.
A la Mystery Science Theater.
Right, featuring our insightful research and razor wit.
We'll be doing occasional personalized fan requests. I'm working on some artwork, including comic book pages.
Yeah.
We're figuring out t-shirts and stickers, and this will be a bit of a race for the first Patreon patron who signs up, whoever you are. We will design a custom episode based on your requests or recommendations.
Oh, God.
You could even record a bit that you'd like played, or we'll try and Skype you in. Yeah, it'll be a challenge, but we can do it.
Now, because we're running out of space on our podcast hosting service, we will be making our back catalog available exclusively to Patreon supporters. So if you want to get our first 25 episodes, you'll need to join us there.
We'll have links in the podcast notes and on our social media pages, so follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rants Macabre. It's important to say our regular show will not change.
No.
I repeat, every Macabre Monday, we will be there for you with our regular shows, though you might hear a certain judgmental tone in our voices.
Talent like this shouldn't be free, damn it. That's all right. I don't mind. So find us on Patreon/RantsMacabre and help us keep the show moving forward. It's time for Lunch Hour Reviews.
You are licking me.
What?
He was licking me!
Lunch Hour Reviews.
This man ate till he burst.
So he did die by eating.
Lunch Hour Reviews.
I'm tainting me.
Tainting me!
It's feeding time.
I'm Darren.
I'm Mindy, and we are the Rants Macabre, a part of the Fangoria Podcast Network. For more information about the network, including other programs, how to follow the show, and find past episodes of the Rants Macabre, please visit fangoria.com.
All right, this episode of our Lunch Hour Review series, we are taking a short break from the American Horror Story sort of anthology that we're doing. We are going to be doing some catching up, talking about what we've been watching.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of television lately.
So much TV.
Everything great has hit
streaming
services
now. And I'm
watching everything all
at once. Yeah,
me too.
A really big problem in my life.
Especially when Preacher and Outkast share similar elements.
It's so confusing, and I think certain things happened on one, and then I realize not so much.
Yeah, I think in a previous episode I talked about how my mom was confusing the two and inadvertently spoiling elements of Preacher for me that I hadn't gotten to yet. But I've gotten there. I'm caught up
on Preacher. I am not caught up on Outkast.
So Outkast is on Cinemax,
yeah,
which doesn't really have great digital representation.
No.
Not yet, anyway.
That's why I haven't caught up yet.
Penny Dreadful that I've been watching is new to Netflix streaming.
Yeah.
Preacher's on AMC.
Yeah.
I guess they're all available on Amazon. It's just a difference of paying for
exactly
it or not. But I guess also on Amazon is Hannibal Season 3, which I'm very excited
There's
getting
so
into.
There's so much TV. But the problem is, and I've told you, and now shamefully tell the listeners, the problem is that I started Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's a really long undertaking. It's like playing a Zelda game. It's like a really long journey that I'm going on. And everything else, it's really hard.
You're in season two still?
I am in season two,
you got
yeah
a lot left.
And so like I have to make deals
priorities
with my husband to be like, okay, we'll watch one episode of Preacher to one episode of Game of Thrones. Because he is really the force behind the Game of Thrones. So. So Preacher has been like my biggest thing that I'm kind of into right now. As far as horror TV goes, because of this Game of Thrones thing that I have to deal with. But I've been really loving it. I never read the comics. I mean, we talked about Preacher previously.
Yeah, we talked about the pilot episode,
mm-hmm,
and that made a big splash, and I was very excited. I'm still excited. It's a little slow moving.
I guess
the
I
first
don't mind.
Like 5-6 episodes.
I guess you could say that. I think you could definitely say that, but there is a lot going on, especially after this last episode that aired, which now will be one episode beyond when this comes out. It's so confusing, like recording in the past, future, whatever. But them six and seven, things have actually started to kind of move forward pretty quickly.
Yeah, and what you were saying before, the cast itself is actually pretty wide.
Yeah.
And so I went back to reread a bunch of the first volume, and now I'm into the second volume. When the pilot hit, I kind of figured, like, all right, well, it'll start to resemble the show, the comic over time. But it's not really. It really is doing its own thing.
Oh, that's kind of pleasant, though. I kind of like that.
I appreciate that it's a different take on the storyline. So they're still using the characters. Mm-hmm. They've branched out since the pilot episode, and Jackie O'Haley was introduced.
Yeah.
And his character is kind of fascinating. I think I'm one episode behind, but so he's been affected by Jesse. Jesse has inherited what he thought it was originally the voice of God.
Right, right. But now he's found out it not really so much.
No, he has inside him Genesis, the sort of offspring of a demon and an angel mating, which I guess it depends on which theological lean you're going to go towards. That, like, I thought angels and demons didn't have sexual organs. So this is like
I don't really understand that.
Mental, ethereal,
like how sex Sting baby. Has sex.
Like, well, that's tantric. That's sex. That's just longer. No, I'm thinking this is more like Demolition Man, where they put on the helmets and impulses flash into their heads. But I don't think you make a baby like that.
No, probably not.
Try as hard as you may. But yeah, so Jesse has the voice, and he has affected Jackie O'Haley's character, Odin Kincannon. But it goes askew in a pretty dramatic fashion where he is told to, like, do God's will, do good, you know, sort of.
No,
all,
he's
all
literally
for the
just
Lord.
Told to do God's will.
Okay.
And that's where it becomes a little tricksy tricks, because.
Because technically, Old Testament, that's kind of how God operated.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of maybe Jesse needs to learn to choose his words a little more wisely.
Well, definitely. And we find that out with Arseface.
Yes, we do. And then in this last episode, He Gone is the episode seven. We finally, though, get to learn about what he did to deserve this kind of public shunning. And it's pretty bad. He's a bad guy.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's such, like, a kicked puppy throughout the show.
You know what? I was feeling really bad, like, for him until repentant. I found out what he did.
Oh, there's no redemption.
No, because you know what I kind of thought? I thought, oh, you know what? Maybe they were in a car accident and it wasn't 100% his fault what happened. Mm. And then when I found out it was, then I was like, ah, fuck you. I don't feel sorry for him at all now. And I feel mad that I ever did.
Oh, well, I just wanted to cap off the idea that Odin Kincannon, Jackie O'Haley, who people know from Watchmen, he played Rorschach. He was very good and creepy in the movie Little Children, where he plays a pedophile who's done his time and is trying to, like, come back to society. He's a terrific actor, and he's really good. I forgot he's also Freddy in the remake.
Yeah, but
let's all forget that. but in this case, he's got a streak through him that I think harkens back to Robert Mitchum in Night of the Hunter a little bit, in the way that, like, Robert Mitchum in the movie believed in his heart that he was a man of God. Like, he thought of himself as a preacher, incidentally. And he, even in the, like, murdering and womanizing, all that shit, is, like, he has these long monologues to God, and you realize that, like, there isn't an ounce of conflict in this man.
Right.
And that's terrifying for someone who is just, like, sees themselves as the righteous hand of God. So his character, I'm looking forward to where he goes, because it's going to get darker.
He is a badass.
Yeah.
And now he has an army, essentially, of his workers. And it's every time you come into his office, the scene is in Kincannon's office, he listens on the speakerphone to the cows being murdered, and it's horrific. Those are the most disturbing scenes ever.
Yeah.
It makes me feel really sad every time.
Yeah, so I guess Preacher, we're lucky that it's going to go 10 episodes for the first season. I think they were already renewed for a second season.
It should be. I think it's really great.
And I think they're scheduled to finish the season in a proper linear fashion rather than like The Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead that breaks up the half season.
Which I can't stand. I'm really getting sick of that.
Yeah, I wonder if AMC is, if it's kind of a response to like the fan call that like, just give us the story.
Yeah, stop
like,
doing that
we
shit.
We are a binge-watching culture. Stop.
Yeah, I can't.
Toying with
sometimes
our emotions.
I forget that I was watching a show if in between those times, if it doesn't
and
stick with
Fear
me.
Fear the Walking Dead, I have no memory. I'm never going back.
I mean, I'm going to keep doing it and just, for the listeners,
you'll
I'll
take one
do
for
it.
The Rance McCabe team.
One thing I do want to say, though, the cast is excellent. And a lot of the main players are actually English or Irish.
Yeah, I thought that
and everyone has a Southern accent now. It's like the weirdest thing. And I've also... I've been watching, you know, Game of Thrones, but also Peaky Blinders.
Just accents galore.
I know. And so then I come back to Preacher and I'm like, what? What's happening? This is so my ears.
It was like when we were watching The Wire and finding out that like this whole cast is English or Scottish or like what's going
on? It's like such a surprise.
Yeah. It's almost like West Texas is, it's a specific accent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is more than like your generic American Southern accent.
Right.
And so I don't know. I mean, English actors certainly have, it seems that they are often cast in roles that require a tricky accent. So they're kind of, they're adept to it.
You know, and I think it's something to think about. It is a Southern accent, especially like maybe let's say a lighter Southern accent, like a Texas accent, which is not your heavy Louisiana, I would say, accent, which is based in French.
Okay.
And your Kentucky accent, which is actually based in Scots-Irish.
I had no idea.
So this softer Southern accent, you'll hear it sometimes in Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana, Missouri, these kind, and down into Texas is a variation of it. But it is, I think, based on English, on an English accent. And so it sounds abrasive to your ears, especially with the R's, but I think there is like a common thread there. And I'm not that great at those particular accents as much as, you know, the like a Kentucky or West Virginia, a Scots-Irish Highlands kind of accent.
Okay. I'm going to write a sketch where you have to do like six of those accents.
Oh my God. My Irish accent is like the worst thing you've ever heard. I cannot do it.
I can't wait.
It turns into
this
Scotch mess.
I hope we don't have to wait
till
next St. Patrick's Day.
You know, I do it for the dog, Murphy, my dog. We pretend that he talks and we do
Murphy.
A voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his voice is like, it's not a nice Irish accent that we do.
So, yeah, the show, Dominic Cooper is killing it.
Yes.
I really like that he is the sort of grounded anchor of this story and that a lot of this stuff is just happening to him.
It's true.
And he oftentimes sort of plays the role of the viewer who's just like, what? Angels? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Now
okay.
We live in a world with angels.
But I think like the biggest standout to me is I watch it. And if Preacher got killed or something, I would still watch it for Cassidy.
Yeah.
It's my favorite part of the show. Whenever Cassidy shows up.
Joseph Gilgun.
Yeah.
He's really good.
He's so good.
And
he's an English guy, too, putting on this accent.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So his character of Cassidy, I don't know. I'm enjoying the differences between the comic. I think in the same way that The Walking Dead has sort of branched away from the comic at times and then come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I enjoy sort of having the little bit of insight and certainly, you know, the original content that inspired Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg to sort of turn the comic into a show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm digging it.
Yeah.
I really do like the show. I said a little bit slow start. But it's got enough compelling characters.
Yeah, I'll watch
exciting.
Cassidy and Tulip do anything. If they just left Jesse and then it was like Cassidy and Tulip show, I would just watch that just fine.
All right, well, go on then, ask me.
Fangs?
No.
Turn into a bat?
No.
Sleep in a coffin?
Not if I can help it.
Afraid of the cross?
It's a 2,000-year-old symbol of hypocrisy, slavery, and oppression. But it won't burn me face off.
Silver bullets?
That's a werewolf.
Sunshine?
Oh, yeah, well, that's legit.
You die?
When you mentioned a sunscreen, that was a nice bonus, but I've got to be careful. I can't just go wandering out. I've got to bundle up, sleeves, hat, shades and that. Otherwise, it's trouble.
You kill people?
Not if they don't deserve it.
But you drink blood?
Yeah, helps me heal. All things being equal, I'd rather have single malt.
So you never, like, crave human blood?
No. Not really.
Hmm.
I thought you meant like in the back of a car or the back of a church.
No. I would watch Cassidy with his shirt off, though. I for some reason, yeah, I don't know. Skinny, like, crackhead people apparently is my jam.
Yeah, like the Mick Jagger type.
Don't
yeah,
go crazy. Skinny. Don't go crazy.
So Hannibal season 3 is on Amazon Prime. So I've been slowly getting into that, and I'm actually excited to finish watching it so I can listen to the Miskatonic Musings episode on Hannibal season 3, because when they love themselves some Hannibal and they really dive deep. But I'm only a couple episodes in, so the show so far is dealing with a lot of the fallout. The previous season left us with Hannibal, like they're on to him. And so he goes from being consultant and good friends with Will to being a international outlaw.
Okay.
But he's Hannibal. So he's got like an identity waiting for him where he is going to be an art expert. And like he's like translating Latin manuscripts. Like he actually, I did enjoy this. He refers to his mind palace the same way that Sherlock uses the mind palace, and it's a nerdy point, but this is like the height of intellectualism is you have a whole palace in that head of yours.
I wonder what was mine, and then a cardboard box. That's what I have. I have like two cardboard boxes, like with a sheet over between them.
Three walls of cardboard under a bridge. But yeah, so Brian Fuller, who before Hannibal did the underrated show Pushing Daisies, and since the cancellation of Hannibal, hasn't missed a step. He's already attached to the Star Trek series that they're going to be rebooting for television, and he's also behind the Neil Gaiman adaptation of American Gods, which also cast Gillian Anderson in Hannibal. She's playing Hannibal's therapist / hostage.
As you do.
But it's really unfortunate that this show came to an end after season 3. I'm kind of fingers crossed. I don't think it's going to happen, but there are murmurs of whether or not it'll go to like a Netflix or Amazon Prime. But I don't know. I'm hopeful. So far, I'm enjoying the season. It is by far the most artsy season so far. The number of slow motion or backwards shots of snails moving around, it might take you by surprise.
Why is that? Why the snails? Because I don't watch the show.
Right. There's kind of a running theme of like entropy and greater fallout, and you know, snails just kind of show up at their own pace and sort of eat away at decaying flesh or that sort of thing. So they're kind of used for that. They're eaten as escargot as well.
Okay. So they just like walk across the screen like squeak 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 squeak.
Not across the screen, but like there's actually a very pretty shot of a snail sort of moving out of blood. That's the kind of stuff. But like we get these soundscapes accompanied by these like pretty abstract visuals. It's all pretty artsy. I'm still on board.
Okay.
It slowed down a little bit. I like that Larry Fishburne's back in the picture. Now they're sort of after Hannibal in Italy. I think they're in Florence. And Hannibal has killed enough people that like he's painted himself into a corner with just room full of blood. He's painted the room with blood. He's painted himself into a corner. And so now he's kind of flailing. I think the story from this season, I wasn't wild about. There's a little bit of redundancies with the movie Hannibal.
Oh, okay.
So the sequel that was written was demanded of the original author after Silence of the Lambs. So he wrote that up. It's not great. I enjoy it. I like Anthony Hopkins in that role.
Mm-hmm.
So they redid a number of scenes from the movie, and that felt redundant. But I do know that later on this season, they are going to do the Red Dragon storyline, and that was kind of the precursor to all this.
Which
was the
introduction. Which I like that story. That's a good story.
Yeah, it's a great Hannibal story. And that he sort of, you know, it's his first time being like advisor behind bars. And so I really like that. And the movies aren't bad. The original Manhunter Michael Mann right. makes a solid film, and then later on Edward Norton was in the remake of Red Dragon. But yeah, I'm excited for where it's going. I'm going to be a little heartbroken at the end of the season when there's no more to watch.
I think that one's way down on my list. I don't think I'm going to get to that for a while.
Now, I think you would dig it. I think even more so, I think you would like Penny Dreadful.
Yes, well, that's my parents both were. My dad was like, they had just said that they canceled it. My dad came to New York to visit, and he was like, actually really bummed out, and like, he wouldn't shut up about it. Like, he was so, he was like, they canceled it. And my mom's like, yeah, your dad's upset. I remember like when my dad found out, my mom called me, and she's like, your dad's really upset. And I'm thinking like something terrible happened, but instead they canceled Penny Dreadful. So that's where my family's priorities are there.
That's funny. Yeah, no, your dad's a big fan of the Hammer take on the monsters, and Penny Dreadful kind of enjoys that world, that continuity where all these creatures, these ghouls live in the same universe.
I love that too, because it is like it's a nice thank you to fans of horror.
Yeah, yeah. We've recently talked about American Horror Story, and the season 5 Hotel is great in all the homages,
right.
And this kind of takes it in the retro direction. But yeah, so a little bit Penny Dreadful. It's now on Netflix streaming,
yes.
The first two seasons, and I'm sure the third season will be there by fan request. But the show is John Logan's baby, and before coming to Hollywood, he was a playwright in Chicago. So
okay.
Like, he's got chops, and when he came to Hollywood, holy shit, like, his IMDb is impressive. He wrote Ridley Scott's Gladiator, Martin Scorsese's The Aviator. Mm-hmm. He also wrote Hugo for Martin Scorsese. He did Tim Burton's Sweeney Todd, which comes up in the show.
Right.
Because there is a Grand Guignol. The show takes place in London, but obviously it's fictional. There's vampires. There's Frankensteins. But there's a Grand Guignol theater, and Frankenstein's monster, his creation, needs a job. So he winds up working at the Grand Guignol. No one knows what he is.
Right.
He's like, you know, he's a stagehand. He's sort of lowering ropes, and, you know, he's under the stage at times. And it's this great storyline. I'm not through the season yet, but I love it.
Yeah.
Really do.
I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be, because Peaky Blinders is shorter than Game of Thrones, so I'll finish Peaky Blinders first, and then I'm going to go right into Penny Dreadful.
Into there. And roughly the same era.
What's the time of Penny Dreadful? Because you're post-World War I in Peaky Blinders, you see.
Oh, okay, then it isn't. So, yes, this is at the almost turn of the century.
Okay.
This is in the late 1800s.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
So a little bit of the cast. It stars Timothy Dalton, who, if I'm being honest, he's the James Bond I grew up with.
Okay.
I didn't choose him. I inherited him.
I inherited mine, but mine was Sean Connery and good, so it's different.
Your parents were cinephiles.
Yeah.
Mine had HBO.
Timothy Dalton.
Eva Green, who plays a mysterious religious medium. She's really good. I like her a lot.
Really? I don't know. I'm hoping this will change my mind on her, because I've not been impressed by her.
She's effectively creepy.
She's a creepster. I'll give you that. I'll give you that, but that's about it.
Who you do like is Billy Piper.
Yes, I love Billy Piper.
She plays a prostitute with consumption.
Of course she does.
No one is afraid to mess with. Like, everyone is so eager to get with her. When she coughs up blood, they're just like, par for the course.
Oh my God.
I'll take the hit.
I bet she has a heart of gold, though. She's like a prostitute with a heart of gold.
She interacts with Dorian Gray, whose name I don't remember. His character is not fantastic. Josh Hartnett.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. People have very mixed feelings about Josh Hartnett. I like him. Lucky Number 11's a solid flick.
I have neutral feelings. I think I have no feelings about Josh Hartnett.
I think you'll like him because he is not putting on an accent. He is playing an American. He's a gunman. He's on like a sort of traveling road show, like Bill Hickok's traveling, you know, Wild West show kind of thing. So he's in England. He's a gun for hire, and that's why Eva Green and Timothy Dalton approach him. They need backup.
You saw my exhibition?
Highly impressive, especially your finale.
Well, you gotta leave him wanting more, as we say in show business. And what might I do for you?
I have a need for some night work.
Oh, honey, don't we all?
I have a need for a gentleman who's comfortable with firearms and not hesitant to engage in dangerous endeavors. Was all that a tall tale as well?
What do you think?
And so there are, you know, vampires and a sort of coven. We are very early introduced to Dr. Frankenstein. He appreciates all the cutting edge work that's being done with electricity in the United States.
Excellent.
And it's a little bit of a nod that, like, I'm using it too. Like, it's fun mm-hmm. when you follow him home. I really do love the universe they've built. I suspect there is a lycanthrope coming around the corner
any
episode now, especially Timothy Dalton's like a world traveler. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a nod mm-hmm. to those
sure.
werewolf stories of, like, you know, the guy sort of coming home cursed.
Right, right. I see where that's going.
I'm not entirely sure, but the universe is beautiful. The production value, and like when you hear it was canceled, it almost makes sense because, like, it wasn't a huge ratings boom. And it is so expensive to make.
I remember even just the publicity that they do every season mm-hmm. that they were doing in New York. You couldn't go on any train and any train stop. It was on everything. Buses, everything.
And every scene is set designed within an inch of its life. Like, it mm-hmm. really is a work of art. I did look at the show, and, you know, admittedly I'm a latecomer, but when we did the Grand Guignol episode, mm-hmm. They have an episode that is
right.
specifically called
so
Grand
many people
Guignol.
Told us, and then I was like, oh, I really need to watch this, because everyone kept telling us to watch it.
Yeah, at the time I looked at the episode, but I was intimidated by the depth of these set pieces and the story. I think Grand Guignol is like a later episode. It's mm-hmm. in the second half of the first season. But I felt like out of my depths. Like, I didn't know the story leading up. And so sort of moving through that to grab sound bites or content was a little daunting on our time schedule. But,
right.
I mean, we'll definitely revisit Grand Guignol. And
yeah, definitely.
This will factor in. But, yeah, I'm pretty psyched about Penny Dreadful and where it's going. And,
nice.
I hope this is one that, like, they can bring it to a Netflix, to Amazon Prime, to, I don't know, any streaming service I have to my home, I'll take it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I have a surprise. It's a small surprise. That's why I didn't tell you beforehand.
Okay.
But I've got some numbers, download numbers.
Uh-huh.
I was sort of doing the click-throughs on our Podomatic backend at the, like, global charts of downloads. So this is just this year, so the numbers are low to what they are, like, long term.
For a whole year, sure.
Yeah, from the, you know, even our inception. But we'll start off in Canada. We've got a total of 914 downloads in Canada, with 327 in Toronto, 169 in Hamilton, Ontario, 142 in Montreal, and a lot more spread throughout the Great White North.
Sure, sure.
We've got Canadian fans. I think they are our second biggest download from the United States, and that I'm saving for last.
Mm-hmm.
We've got downloads throughout Mexico and Central and South America. We've got downloads in Peru, Brazil, Venezuela, Chile.
Great. We also need to do another Spanish language horror film.
Yeah.
Because there are so many good ones, and we barely touched on them last time.
Yeah. Yeah. We gotta maybe, I don't know, we could even do like two or three episodes depending on how much energy we have.
There's so many things I want to do.
We've got 1,597 in the UK. So I was wrong. Actually, Canada is second in terms of countries and downloads after the United States.
I figured UK, because we have a lot of people in the UK talking to us.
Yeah, man. We love them. We got 74 in Ireland. We've got 8 downloads in Italy.
Sure, why not?
Wait till they hear our Dario Argento episode and Lucio Fulci, Mario Bava. We'll get there. We're not above
we'll
pandering.
No, I'm not.
We will pander to an Italian audience. We've got to get those
lot
numbers
of good
up.
Italian cinema.
We've got 105 downloads in Ghana.
Interesting.
Did you have a friend who's doing work?
No, I have a friend in Cape Verde.
Cape Verde.
Yeah.
Where's that?
That's off the coast. It's like Africa Island. They speak like a type of Portuguese.
Okay. It's not associated with Ghana, so we've got independently
105
downloads.
Yeah.
All right.
All my friends in Africa just are in Cape Verde.
We've got 67 in Spain. We've got 39 in France. We've got 140 downloads in Germany. Sweden coming in strong. We've got 239 downloads in Sweden. We've got downloads in each country of the Netherlands. We're big fans of your horror too, Netherlands. Netherlands. But our Scandahorror episode was especially fun.
Hashtag Scandahorror.
We've got downloads in Romania, the Ukraine, Iraq, Saudi Arabia. We've got 42 downloads in the United Arab Emirates. We have Middle Eastern listeners. How do you like that?
Interesting. That's interesting.
As far as I could tell, we don't have any downloads in Iran, but there is a movie out. It was an indie Iranian horror movie. I think it was called Under the Shadow.
Okay.
This year, that I was pretty excited about. It had really good buzz. But yeah, we gotta get those Iranian downloads started. What else? We've got 120 in Russia. We've only got 8 downloads in Japan. We could be working harder. I've been excited to do a J horror episode for a while. It's on the docket, but it keeps getting shifted around. We've got 8 in Korea. Thank you, Korea.
Yeah,
we're big fans of your horror as well.
Yes, for sure.
We have no downloads in the People's Republic of China.
I don't think many people do.
State controlled. However, we do oddly, our Podomatic page has 119 views. So it's like they've made themselves aware. I don't know. Maybe they're bots.
They've accidentally typed those letters in.
They might have, like, rerouted. That's funny. But, yeah, they're just like, we don't know. We're copying and pasting from the internet, and this is the result. But, yeah, I don't know. We got to work on China. And we have a couple here and there in Southeast Asia. But it's pretty exciting, and it also serves as a reminder that, like, there's international horror to consider.
There's a lot of international horror to consider. We're not the only people doing this in the States. And, honestly, I mean, for the small amount of time, I would say between 2007 to 2010, when U.S. was really killing it in horror, there was, like, everyone else is just working their asses off. Spain is still killing it. Ireland's killing it like crazy. Australia's putting in their numbers.
All this great output that America will eventually remake, so we've got to get to the originals before they're spoiled.
Exactly. So then what are the numbers in the States?
Okay. This year alone, we have 814 in Boston, in the Boston, Massachusetts area.
Okay.
In New York, we've got 818. That's probably you and me downloading it repeatedly. We've got 222 around the Chicago area. What up, Illinois?
Yeah.
469 in the Seattle area.
Okay.
Thanks, Seattle.
Yeah.
Throughout California, Southern California, Northern California, and the East Bay. What's up, Oakland, with 376 downloads. We have some nice friends throughout Texas and Florida.
Yeah.
And last but not least, we've got 2,706 downloads in the Wichita, Kansas area.
Really? That's really interesting.
Yeah, man.
I want to know more. I want to know more about our Kansas fans.
Kansas. I'm open to doing a live show in Kansas. Let's explore this fan base.
Yeah, right?
I'm fascinated.
We should do a Kansas horror. I'll have to think about this.
Badlands? I don't know. I mean, is it a horror movie?
I don't know.
We'll do some research. Kansas, we love you too. We'll get back to you very soon. And I wanted to do a small shout out to the New York Horror Movie Group on meetup.com. I joined a couple months back. Hello, Anne-Marie, Matt, Marla, Frank, Ava. So far, I've only been to 3 of their meetups, so I still have more people to meet.
Mm-hmm.
This coming Saturday, there's going to be horror movie trivia, which I plan on dominating.
You better dominate.
I'm going to dominate and flip out business cards just like I'm making it rain.
Nice. if the listeners could see how you were just making it rain, it was like so sad.
That was not sad. That was a good pantomime. Take it back.
I will not.
So another reminder, now we will have officially launched our Patreon page.
Yeah.
If things go accordingly, it should be patreon.com/rantsmacabre. It'll be in the show notes on the podcast, so on your podcast app, you'll be able to see the links. We'll also be posting it all over social media, but we're asking for a little help. We need... Well, we're willing to work for it. We'll work for contributions. So, yes, support us on Patreon. We're on all the social media outlets, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our website is therantsmacabre.com.
Yep.
Our email is therantsmacabre@gmail.com. We also have a YouTube page where we got regular stuff coming up.
Definitely.
You've been listening to The Rants Macabre, a presentation of the Fangoria Podcast Network, produced by Darren Rosario, that's me, and Thomas DeFeo, and executive produced by Ken Hanley of Fangoria Entertainment. For press opportunities, advertising inquiries, and information about The Rants Macabre, contact Ken at fangoria.com. This is me, Darren, signing off.
And this is Mindy. Thanks.